Thank you, sir.
You got it. Everybody, what's going on? It's Bay Ragney here. We're here for another episode of the Rockin' Ragney Show. And before we get into it, just to let you know, this show and all of our shows is brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Our good friend Dan Pizzi and his team of professional realtors, they're going to provide you guidance, knowledge, and information. Doesn't matter if you're a buyer or a seller. Visit nexthomebrandywine.com for details and contact an agent. They service Philly and the surrounding areas, but if you're outside of Philly, it doesn't matter, nationwide, they can get direct you to the proper office closest to you in your city and state, because there are 48 states covered by Next Home. So like I said, nexthomebrandywine.com. Nationwide referrals are available, like I said, and be sure to ask for the NH5 listing special. You can call them directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862, Next Home Brandywine. And I'm here right now. We're going to have a good time because I've been really, really excited to talk to this dude, because not only does he have like this killer rocking band going on right now, they're heavy, they're in your face, but this dude's got a funny little past story, which I think 5 million people know it, but we're going to make it 5 million and maybe, you know, one at least.
Right.
So let's welcome to the show the one and only Mr. Tyler Lawson from the band Alligator Bud, based out of Las Vegas. Dude, what's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing, bud? Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, man. Thank you. Dude, before we get into the whole the backstory, the news story, and every story, anybody ever tell you like Corey Haim?
Ha ha ha. Yes. In fact, just a funny little quick thing, you say that when I first moved to Vegas back in 2007, a friend and I went to a bar out here that was open at the time called Scores, and the bartender girls would not believe when I said I'm not him. They're like, no, we understand you have to say that. And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking Corey Haim. But then I eventually at the very end just kind of went with it. You'd be like, I was just like, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm Corey Haim, and I left. So I'm sure they told all their friends they had Corey in their bar that day, you know, but
probably Corey,
you know, that was their mistake, but I just kind of went with it.
That's funny. Like as I was going through and watching all the videos, and I'm like, it was driving me nuts. I'm like, this dude looks familiar. And then it just clicked. I'm like, oh my God, it looks like Corey Haim.
For sure. I'll take it as a compliment, man. The guys that
he was absolutely
successful. He's a good kid, man. What is it? The Lost Boys, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the Corey, both Coreys. Shout out to the other Corey, you know.
The two Coreys, yeah. Actually, I had Corey Feldman on this show quite a few years ago. So Corey's a good nice dude. Yeah, man. Yeah. So your old band, this is a crazy story, and I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, so I'm really intrigued by this whole thing. So your old band, Cracker Man, you guys did a live performance on Vegas TV, and you did like a whole, you had a Howard Stern banner in the backdrop, and you did the whole Baba Booey thing, and guys started smashing your set. And this led to you guys, you particularly, getting on the Howard Stern show and getting to talk to Howard. Like, did you actually expect that to happen when you guys planned that and did that?
To answer that question, honestly, yes, I'd planned that from a previous experience. So before we had played that morning show, we were the months prior to that. So that happened in July. So the November before that, we were nominated for an award at the Vegas Rocks Magazine Music Awards at the Palms in Vegas.
Okay.
And I'm a huge Howard Stern. First off, I just like to say a Baba Booey to you too. I've always been a huge Howard Stern fan. I mean, I got turned on to him in the 90s when he had the E Show. Nice. I know I came a little later, but I've been a listener and a fan ever since. So it's always been to me, just getting on the show would be great. But anyway, I noticed that during that time, yelling Baba Booey was very popular. Like, yeah. People were doing it. Remember, people were doing it at golf places or places you're not supposed to be screaming.
Yes.
So I went, you know what? I was like, if we win this fucking award, I'm going to go up there and just fucking give a shout out to Stern. I guarantee he gives me a shout out back. And it happened. I gave the shout out, sent him the stuff on the email, and they took my call right away. It was great. So I was like, okay, so we got asked to do the morning show, and I wanted to step it up a notch. I was like, well, maybe if we do this, he'll actually give me some interview time. So I planned all of that. That was, I can't lie about that. That was all preemptively planned by me. I deceived the radio station or the news station. We told them we were going to play our single we had out, which was like a 4-minute song. Nate told me they're going to play 3 minutes and 30 seconds of it, and then they're going to fade out, and that's how they're going to end the show. So I started playing that. If you notice on that performance, the first couple of chords sound different than the rest of the song. I told the band the very last minute, we're going to act like we're playing that, and you go into this punk rock song we had that I knew was only 2 minutes long. So I knew once we ended that song, I'd have a full minute and a half to do whatever I wanted. And they were so I flipped the switch on them, and thankfully I know a few producers were about to be fired over that incident, and I'm just glad nobody was, because you know, let's face it, I took a dump of a TV station, and I brought it to glory. If we're just being honest, that was a local show that got international attention after I was on it.
Absolutely,
and I'm not bragging, but anyway, I think the producer of that show should have been given a raise. She obviously knows talent. Shout out to Julie Pyle.
That's awesome, dude. That is freaking awesome. Now, how long before I'm out here in my backyard and people are racing by? So, how long before they contacted you back to set you up there for you to talk to Howard?
I'm trying to think on that one. It was almost immediate too. I think we played that show. We played that show on a Friday, and I was on his show by. So no, actually, that took. They actually had me wait 2 days. You know how he's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
He took my call on a Wednesday.
Wow.
So I'd done it that Friday. They did the show Monday and Tuesday. Then he took my he gave me the shout out and gave me that airtime on Wednesday.
That's awesome. That is freaking awesome. Now, how much when you did that, did you get like any like feedback or anything like through social media? Did people like start liking, you know, your stuff and all and get turned on to you guys?
Absolutely, man. I personally, you know, I got fans from all over now. I got haters too. I remember people saying that how they're obviously I read some comments that were kind of funny to me, but it's some people wished I would die. I was the most horrible thing that ever happened to rock and roll. What I do is not music. I'm a poser, and I'm just so you get, you know how it goes on social media. But I love it all. Even reading the hate, I was like, yes, this is awesome. You know, so I actually like the disses more than the compliments. I'm not gonna lie.
Dude, but when you're getting that means you're doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we had a lot of intention. I regret nothing. That was a fun 3-piece. It spawned out of my love for 90s music. I'm a huge fan of Stone Temple Pilots. That's why I named the band what they did. I grew up listening to Nirvana. That was just a really fun time in my life. And everything, in my opinion, I was actually at my old bass player's house yesterday, and we were talking about how awesome that was. It was just a fun experience.
Yeah, you know, that's funny you brought that up, because I was thinking at myself, like, you know, when I was trying to find that clip initially, when I got your press release and all, I was thinking to myself, like, every time I did a search on the band Cracker Man, all that would come up constantly was STP. So was that like hard for you guys to even get, you know what I mean? Like for people to find you?
Hey, well, I absolutely. But then when I broke through the Howard Stern thing, we started ranking better. So it was easier to find. So you literally type in Cracker Man Tyler, Cracker Man Howard, Cracker Man T. We're going to be all the number one things. But yeah, like, I mean, let's face it, you know, rest in peace, Squat Weiland. But I never planned on passing Stone Temple Pilots, man. That's just a great band. And for the record, I say this with peace and love. What you're listening to now is not Stone Temple Pilots. Change the band name, boys. It ain't Squat Weiland anymore. That's all.
With peace and love. With peace and
with
love.
Peace and love. With peace and love. Like, seriously, like, I respect all music, but let's face it, that's not Stone Temple Pilots. That's some generic version going around going through the motions for the money.
You know, it's sad with the Scott Weiland thing and Stone Temple Pilots. Like, I got to see them when I lived back in Philly, do a radio appearance thing for like 20 people. They did acoustic, a few songs, and you know, I was a fan of them, but after seeing that, like, I had such a bigger respect and appreciation for Scott Weiland. Like, he sang like an angel, and I was blown away. I was like, wow, like, yeah, I got it then. Like, I liked him, but then I, like, totally got the whole Weiland thing.
Sure. When he was on, he was on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
So, but, yeah. But that whole, but great question, man. That whole thing with Howard Stern and the whole punk rock band and all that stuff, that was a great time, and it brought me attention all over. I got more people to work with me locally. Just it opened a lot of doors for me to be able to do kind of what I'm morphed into now.
Right. So that what happens then? Like, so you get like this big rub from Howard Stern and all, and then how long before you decide like you're done with Cracker Man and you want to do something different?
Well, I didn't want to be done with it, for the record, but sometimes the universe forced you to. So with that happened, we got all that attention. So then there was a good management out on the East Coast, Boston area. We were going to start working with, and we're going to start touring. We're going to start paying our dues.
Okay.
You know? And sorry about that. I had a message come through. We're going to start paying our dues. We went and played the, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I forget what year it was. It might've been 2016 was the last time we played, but we were going to start our little thing in Worcester. They do that big rock and they do the Rock and Shock Music and Horror Film Festival.
Yeah.
It was great. We played with Whitechapel. That was when Sepultura came back. Trivium. I mean, we were on the bill with a lot of great bands, and a girl that was in charge of that was going to start working with us. But my drummer and bass player, you know, shit got real, and they didn't, and no offense to them, I still have nothing but love and respect for them, but they didn't want to tour, you know, and they quit. I mean, right. I literally was finally made it. I finally got to the point where I was about to tour with this band, and my band quit.
Wow.
And that was a dark time for me. They just left. They quit. The last show we actually played as Cracker Man was Rock and Shock in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Wow.
So that was the very last time we ever played.
That's the thing. Like, I guess, like when reality probably hit them guys in the face. Like, you know, it's one thing playing in your backyard and having fun, and you know, the people in your scene are coming and hanging out, and you're part of that scene and all. But when you go to break out and you got to like do the van thing and you know, paying your dues, like you're saying.
Actually, let's face it. Even though I had a reputation and a little notoriety, I mean, I'm not shit compared to those bands we were playing with. Bands like Whitechapel and Sepultura and Emotionless and White, all these guys have been on the road forever, and they paid their dues big time. Sure. So it's like I didn't expect to be thrown in right there with the big guys yet. I was ready to go out there and work for a minute, you know? Absolutely.
Right.
So the good thing about the band I got now is they're working. I got workers in my band now, so I didn't make that mistake again.
Yes. Yeah, so how long did it take you to put, you know, Alligator Blood together?
It took a while. I was in a dark time, and it just kind of happened that when that dissolved, there was a pretty popular cover band out here, which they still are. They're a hard rock cover band. If you ever come to Las Vegas, people probably know the band Smashing Alice. They're a hard rock cover band. They do everything from Hell Yeah to Rob Zombie to Marilyn Manson to Linkin Park to Limp Bizkit to Godsmack. I mean, just name it. They're a hard rock cover band. Their catalog is huge. Their singer and them had us falling out, and they needed somebody to fill in. So I filled in for them for about 6 months, did about five shows with them and stuff. I never wanted to be a cover singer, but it felt that it filled the void, you know.
Gotcha.
I didn't have a band. My band just quit, and I was like, fuck, at least I can sing right now. So I'm glad I did that, because Christian Roloff, the other songwriter in this band, he is the other half of Alligator Blood. He was playing guitar with them. And me and him just kind of clicked on a friendship level. Like, I just felt like this guy's cool, you know?
You know,
I think he thought I was cool. And I remember I gave him an old Cracker Man album and some demos. And sorry about that. I should have turned that off. He liked it. He goes, you know, I see potential here. We should start a band. So when we started back initially, the goal was to just reinvent Cracker Man.
Okay.
I was going to come back out with Cracker Man again. But then I took a step back and was like, this is different. This is different music, different vibe. Just let Cracker Man be Cracker Man. And so after a few name changes and settling on something, we finally decided on Alligator Blood. So.
Which I, you know, I did a little search. Like, I'm like, why Alligator Blood? And here it's like a poker term.
Yes. So have you ever seen the movie Rounders? It's an older movie.
You know what? My girlfriend actually just showed me that movie like 3 weeks ago.
So you remember the part in the movie? He's like, this kid's got alligator blood.
Okay.
Basically, it's the resilience of a poker player. He may even be short stacked. You can't get rid of him. So I kind of took that in mind, like, you know, I was short stacked, but you can't get rid of me. And nice. One of my favorite bands of all time is I really like Bring Me the Horizon.
Okay.
They're just a good band, man. I like the direction they've gone and how they're growing. They're kind of on the same levels, like how Marilyn Manson's kind of morphed into different sounds. It's just I like the progression. And they have a song called Alligator Blood. So not only was it one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite bands, it had a poker term. And the most important thing, alligatorblood.com wasn't taken. So I bought that shit right away. And no other band had it. So I've already filed for the trademark. So we own that now. So nobody else can use that. So that was another reason. Like it was me and Christian had literally made a sheet of paper and had written down probably 50 to 100 band names. And almost every single one of them had 3 or 4 bands already existed on that name. You'd be amazed how hard it is to come up with a completely original band name that no one's taken at this point. We're in 2020. Bands have been around since what, the 40s?
Right.
Right? Rock and roll 50s, 40s?
Yeah.
30s maybe a little bit. It started kind of, the blues started becoming more mainstream. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot of years of band names.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy too. Like a lot of times, like when I do interviews with like independent bands and all, and I start to do searches and Google searches and stuff. Sometimes that'll happen. Like I'll come up and like, there's like 2 or 3 other bands with the same name. Don't they realize it? And even on Spotify, which I don't understand how this happens. You go on Spotify and there's multiple listings for, you know, under same band names. Like, don't you people see this?
Nobody owns the name. They just take it. So if anybody's watching this, if your band has multiple names, just, it takes a while. It's about $1,000 in 6 months. But you can trademark that shit if it hasn't already been trademarked. And like, it's the legal process of how we do things. You just go trademark it. And then once you have that, you can kick other people off.
Right.
Yeah. So I just, I know it's weird, right? I think you go and look, there's several bands with the same name. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, but what are you going to do, man? It's 2020. It's a lot of names are taken, dude. And a lot of people don't know the legality process. They go, we're going to start a band. Let's name it this. And we'll just make a Facebook page and a Twitter and blah blah blah, and you don't really look, you know.
Absolutely, and a lot of them now, they don't even do websites anymore. It's just I got an Instagram.
I mean, I don't know if that's right or wrong. To be honest with you, I like having a website to have all my stores and videos. Everything's on our website. So when people ask me what my social media is, I don't even give them my handle. Alligatorblood.com has links to everything you need to do to follow us.
It's the way to do it.
Alligatorblood.com. So like maybe it's because I'm old school. I'm in my 30s. So that's I'm used to the importance of websites. But I guess I get the younger generation's point.
Yeah.
Between TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat. And I mean, I don't even think they're even on Facebook anymore. And I'm sure there's going to be another 2 or 3 other platforms that pop up over the next couple of years. Like the young kid, the website is kind of dying in a sense.
Yeah.
Or it's just not dying. It's just not as important.
Yeah. Scary. It's scary, but I like the whole idea of, you know, the website, like you're saying, it's your central hub and you got the links there for everything. It's got the links for the music and more importantly, the links for the store to generate the money.
The income. Yeah. And we got our show dates. Like it's like, I built the damn thing myself. I made it as easy and as mobile friendly as I could. So if you literally can't work our website, you probably shouldn't be on the internet.
So you guys put out your debut album back in March.
Yeah.
And then the world shuts down.
That was fun.
Yeah. Did you guys have like dates lined up and stuff ready to go? Or it was just like,
it depresses me to think about it. First off, I'd like to say that I'm being very selfish right now. The human race and people's, health is important, especially with the COVID. I don't want to see anybody out there getting some disease over some, cause they want to be selfish. I mean, everyone be your own person. I just hope everybody's safe. With that said, it just sucked, man. I had a lot of shit canceled. We charted at number, which I was very proud of. We peaked at number 22 on the mainstream metal charts. Wow. So we're getting radio play all over the United States. Our Spotify numbers are popping up. And then I've canceled I don't even want to. I've canceled. We've canceled quite a few gigs, man. Or we didn't cancel them. They've been canceled. And
sure,
we're going to do like this little small intimate gig next month.
Okay.
At the Tuscany Casino in Vegas. But now our governor Sisolak announced yesterday that starting tomorrow, face masks are required wherever you go. So if you go outside, you have to wear a face mask. No stores will sell to or let you in unless you have a mask on. Sounds a little unconstitutional to me, but I understand they're trying to be safe. But that ruined another gig for me.
Wow.
I can't sing with a fucking mask on. I'm not Slipknot. You know, shout out Corey Taylor. I don't know. I mean, that's a real compliment. I don't know how the fuck.
Yeah, like, I don't either.
I know he's passionate, dude. You can tell he loves music and he's up there raging. It's like, how do you do it? Does he have like, he must have air conditions in there somehow and some kind of hydration system. Cause I don't know how he does it.
So you got to think of some way to do it, to pull this gig off.
Right. Well, management hit us up this morning. They might just cancel all the gigs. And they told me that I wouldn't have to wear a mask as a singer. But okay, the problem is my drum, I'm going to run it by my drummer. Cause let's face it. If anybody's using as much energy, they have to. As a singer, it's the drummer.
Yeah.
Not take anything from the guitar or bass player, but if they want to, they can sit down and just sit there and play.
Sure.
The drummer, sure. No matter what, even if you're relaxed, you're constantly – I don't want him back there gasping for air. If he's uncomfortable, he's uncomfortable. I'm not going to make him do that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Like I said, we're talking. Like I don't mind doing it. It's just a little weird. That's all. Maybe I'll make a heavy metal one.
Yeah, man. We'll do
it, yeah, make it all cool and – all that stuff.
come on. Refer back to the Howard Stern stuff. You know how he does with Baba Booey. He's got like the diver helmet or something like that. Yeah, you can figure something out. I got faith in you.
Yeah, you can have. Yeah, you're right. I could have fun. It's just I thought it was funny how like they made that announcement, and I think we're the only band that didn't make an outrage out of it. Everyone's outraged. They quit. They're not playing the Tuscany. Fuck that. It's like, don't be so selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know. That's my opinion. And I'm entitled to it. So that's my opinion.
Well, I did see you guys a live stream back in May.
Yeah, that was fun.
On Facebook.
Maybe Vegas had
it looked awesome, dude.
I wish the like anything else, the TV doesn't do it any justice. The actual studio and the work that went into the sound is just, I was super blessed. One of the manager owner guys there was a fan of the band. They were going to do like a promo reel to bring other bands in, and they wanted us to be one of the bands on their promo reel. So they're like, "Hey, nice, man, we're going to give you a free live stream. Get out to your concert. We just want you part of our promo reel. We like you guys." So that I was beyond blessed and happy about that, considering we're not really playing right now, and nothing's for sure yet, but we might be back there next month. So stay tuned. We might be doing like a double headline concert with somebody else at the end of July. So that's all I can say about that. But if anything goes through, I'll definitely keep all you guys posted.
Now, what do you think? Like I said this the other night to a band I was interviewing, and I was asking them about it because they haven't done one yet. And, you know, everybody's doing them. I said, I really think, with these crazy times, but I think this is going to be the true future. Even after things do go back to normal, whenever that happens, I think this is going to be the future of music and entertainment is doing these live streams because, you know, for a band like you guys who, you know, you have your Vegas base and you know, you do your Vegas stuff and it's hard at times to get out and do tours and get in the van and do the thing. Here's a way for you to not only reach people in the whole country, but you can hit people around the freaking world.
Oh yeah. That's a great thing about internet, ain't it? You can literally, like, when we put that concert and I had motherfuckers in the UK, I got fans in Thailand, I can't remember the name of that bar. I feel like an asshole right now, but I got people in Thailand that, like, it was just cool to have all your people around the world that like you were able to watch you. I don't know. Right. I mean, without having to go there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. That was cool. I will say as a band, it's weird. Not that I'm looking for I'm not looking for all the screaming fans, but it is kind of weird when you're done rocking out your hit single and you just gave it everything you got. And then
there's nothing. There's no reaction. Yeah.
There's four guys. There's a cameraman, two sound guys going. It's weird. That's obviously strange, but it's just one of those things like anything else. You maybe just try to get used to it. Cause I can see this, even if concerts are resumed to normal, I can see this still sticking around, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I can totally see this sticking around. I can totally see this idea of live streams getting better. Mm-hmm. I can see everything just getting like everything else, man. And they're going to be doing holograms. They are doing holograms of people who died. Right. You know, right. So like I can see this being the future. Absolutely. You know, and like, even if you do, even if you are playing like a big festival somewhere in the UK or the United States or Mexico or Brazil or wherever, they'll probably, this will probably be the new norm where you can go to the concert, but if you're not there, they're going to make the live stream probably amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that for sure. I agree with you.
I think so. I think this is truly going to be the future. And to flip it over to like the like where restaurants and all do like the whole curbside pickup thing and all now, I think that's going to be a thing. And now restaurants are doing like curbside pickup for booze. I think that's going to be a thing now too. Like you can drive up and, you know what I mean? It's just, everything's going to change.
Well, I already had drive-through liquor stores in Texas.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Drive-through liquor stores. They had one in Indiana when I was growing up. You get a, it was a drive-through liquor store and cigarettes. You get tobacco and drive right through.
No shit.
But yeah, I can see that everything is like, you can literally fucking groceries, clothes, like malls. Yeah. You can literally order the shit and they bring it to you. Like the mall down the street from my house has curbside pickup. You order whatever store you want to and they bring it out to you.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So some of the stores are doing that at the outlet mall down the street. I live on the south side of Las Vegas. So there's a lot of, obviously being in Vegas, there's a lot of shopping everywhere, but there's a, there's an outlet mall down fucking right down the street from me, a couple miles down the street, that's doing the curbside pickup.
Nice. Nice.
Which now, takes the shopping experience away, but.
Hey.
What are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do?
You know what? It's like, the, you know, over the last so many years, like you've seen the death of malls and they put up like these little shopping things. It's like the whole experience is just different now.
They put up too many malls is what they did. And that's why the death of them.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s and early 2000s, you couldn't turn anywhere up and build a damn new mall.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, but yeah, man, the COVID's made things different. And I see a lot of this, to go back to your original thing, I see all this kind of new technology sticking around for forever.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. So that's not, this is going to be old technology, but something you guys are really utilizing, which I love to see. You guys are like banging out videos. Like you've already got 4 videos out for singles, you know, in a few months. Like, are you guys going to do one for every song in the album, which I'm hoping you're going to say yes?
I wish. It's just, I got to be honest with you. I first and foremost, I'd like to say it's always a pleasure making music videos, but man, it's hard work sometimes, man. And to be able to do them for every song and it's hard. So I think I'm going to do one more on that album we're going to release.
Okay.
But, I think that'll be it for that release. And then we're coming out. We actually are wrapping up on a brand new single we just recorded last week. And then we're in the middle. We're about 5 songs into a 10 song album. So we're ready. By the time next year comes, we have a whole new album, a whole new set of videos. We're moving forward. So wow. Yeah, I do a thing when I do videos, man. I like to do a thing where I'll block out 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
I'll come up with ideas. I shot pretty much all those videos I shot 3 of those videos in about 2.5 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So we just, I picked a location. You just boom, boom, boom. It's like, it's work, but yeah. Yeah, it is kind of old school. I mean, I guess me and Christian and I were talking about that the other day. Although videos are fun to do and it's great to have a presence on YouTube. It's not the excitement is back in the day. It's not fucking back in the day on MTV where you like, I just remember, man, the kids these days, that sounds so old. We'll never understand what it was like to just wait at home watching Beavis and Butthead. It's the top 20, the top 20 countdown, you know?
Right.
Yo MTV raps.
Yep.
Always play man. The fresh. Yeah, dude, I'm all about that life, man.
Yeah. Then
they started promoting, you're cool if you're a little underage kid and have kids. So we're going to give you your own TV show. And that's where they lost me.
It's crazy what happened to that channel, how it went from, you know, I mean, I was there from day one when it first started. I was like 12 years old when it launched. And, you know, I would sit there every day glued to it just to see what the next video is going to be. You know,
me and you both, bro. I even did the whole shit where if I couldn't be glued to it, remember back in the day where you had to record to your VCR. I'd record that shit so I could watch it later. Absolutely. You know,
it's funny, but when I moved here from Philly, like I was going through old boxes. I still had freaking old VHS tapes of stuff I had recorded off of MTV. I was like, oh my God, really?
That's badass. I still have. I'm gonna get it. I need to actually. That reminds me. You're gonna motivate me to do this today. I have a VHS of my first concert ever.
Oh, nice.
So I want to figure out how to fucking get that on digital, just to have that for memories. I know there's a way to do it.
Was it your concert or a concert you went to?
No, my first concert I played at. It was a little county fair in Indiana. I was in a band called Formal during that time. I think I was 18 or 19 years old.
No kidding.
Yeah, one of my first concerts I ever played as a real band. I'd gotten up on stage and stuff before, but I considered this my first one as a real. We were booked on the flyer. We had worked on 10 songs. It was my real first performance.
Nice.
Hey, dude, watch.
Just Google it, man. I'm sure it's just a USB wire to like a VHS something or whatever.
It's exactly what it is. It's like a little special little thing you get. It's all it is, man.
Yeah.
Those things where you get the motivation to do it, and then you just kind of forget about it. I'm a procrastinator sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, we all are. Come on now.
Yeah, for sure.
So I got to ask, like, is there plans, like, cooking in your head to do something to try to get back into the world of Stern with Alligator Blood now?
I thought about that. Shout out to Jason. He's my contact at the show.
Okay.
Whenever I have material and stuff, I go to him. But it's kind of like when I was breaking stuff. Like, I never did that so you'd like me more. I just did that because that's who I am. And I know that sounds silly, but you're talking to a person who I would not be in music if it wasn't for Kurt Cobain. You have to understand that I was a young kid. You know, when you see that, it molds you. And just like, I based my whole musicianship off Nirvana. That is the band for me.
Nice.
In fact, that's his guitar out of his journals right there on my arm. I just really like that guy. And maybe because we had little similar upbringings. My family didn't want nothing to do with me growing up. My dad died when I was young. So, when you have that troubling past, you gravitate more to what you're. He spoke to me. He spoke to millions of fucking kids. Let's face it. That's why he was so popular. There's so many fucking kids in my position. He spoke to us. So I understood the rage and the sadness and how music is not always going to be fucking Guns N' Roses. I'm hanging out with girls, Axl Rose, Mr. Cool, my leather pants, fucking hot chicks. It's not all about that, man. There's a real sadness and there's a real reality to life that he brought out. And I was attached to that. And I just, but anyway, my point being, people started bringing me guitars to break at shows. I was like, I'm not doing that shit no more. And then people started expecting me to do crazy stuff to get on Howard Stern. All of a sudden I became like this kind of whack packery weird. And it's like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I purposely have not reached out to him. I reached out to him in March when we charted. And I told Jason, hey, bro, if he has some, because I know there's COVID going on. I said, hey, man, if he's got some free time, I'd love to talk music, be back on the show. He said he'd see what he could do, and I never heard back. So I know at the end of the day, it's up to Howard.
Sure.
So now you never know what's on his plate.
Yeah.
You got to catch up. I don't know Howard personally, but I've come to realize you got to catch him in the right mood.
Yeah. You know? They got to figure an angle that they can work with it to do it, to make it work.
So, to answer your question, I reached out to him once since then, but I haven't gone out of my way to do any of the stunts or anything because it came more like a shtick and like that really is a turnoff to me. So
I can understand that. I'll tell you what, here's a crazy story. My biggest concert regret is me and my buddy had tickets to see Nirvana in 94. They were playing University of Pennsylvania in Philly. And me and my buddy, we were like hanging out all day and we were just like, like we were both like major Nirvana fans and we were like really wanted to go. And we're like, dude, I don't really want to go and deal with the college kids and the whole college kid scene. Cause they were playing on campus. And we were just like,
Are you sure that was that 93 or 94?
Maybe it was 93.
It had to be 93. Cause I remember he killed himself in allegedly fucking Courtney killed rock and roll. Allegedly.
Allegedly. So yeah, it was 93. It was 93 then.
But because I remember in 94 he was having problems and he went to Europe.
Yeah.
Doing that whole thing and he came back and disappeared. But yeah. So you didn't go, huh? Because you didn't want to deal with the college kids.
Yep. And then
you son of a bitch.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh man. That sucks, bro. Because you know that it would have been being at a campus, it probably would have been more intimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
crazy.
So that's damn. I'm sorry, bro.
My biggest concert regret. Like, whew, crazy. As a matter of fact, I remember hearing when he tried to kill himself in Rome that morning. I was driving to work, and Howard Stern was like, oh, breaking news. Like, we just got news that, you know, Kurt tried to kill himself. I'm like,
he
what?
Called, remember he called the hospital?
Yeah.
Asking for Kurt Cobain and said he was like his uncle or something. They wanted to know what was going on with Kurt, and they were talking to that guy in the hospital. That was funny. I remember that, dude. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy stuff, man. So, dude, this has been fun talking to you, man. Like, where should we send her? We know the website, but everybody's really got it. I want everybody, I don't really listen to music, but check out these freaking videos because they're killer, like old school, like stuff you would see on MTV. They're true freaking music videos. They look like they were a blast to make. They're a lot of fun to watch. And the fucking music rocks. It's just.
Thank you, brother.
It's really good.
Go back to what we said before, man, to anybody watching this, just alligatorblood.com. I have made that website so easy to use. Like, you click on videos, it takes you right to our YouTube. You can see everything.
Nice.
So, like, the alligatorblood.com, you can get our music, our videos, pictures, links to our social media. Obviously, when we open back up and stuff, you'll see our show dates. Stuff on there. Links to our store. It's really easy to use. We're on, as far as social media, I keep it small. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. So you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. I stay away from Twitter. I don't do politics. Twitter's too political for me.
It is very, he said.
Yeah. So I can't stand politics. My politics are music. So you can see pictures, like Instagram's great because you can see the pictures of our live shows. You can kind of see the photo catalog of what we're doing. And Instagram's great because you can interact with us more. I personally turn off comments on all my shit except for Facebook. I don't care what you have to say or what you think about my band. Listen to it, rock it out, keep your comments to yourself. I don't care.
Nice, nice.
You know, so like I said, alligatorblood.com, bro. And thanks for having us on thanks for having me on the show. And
absolutely.
Thank you, bro. I had a great time, and this was a great interview. Thank you.
Thanks, man. And I tell you what, like, I'm hoping to get to Vegas at some point by the end of the year, you know, depending on how stuff opens up. But if I do, I'm looking you up, and I want to hit freaking the Counts places. I saw you play there a few times. I want to hit my boy. I've interviewed him quite a few times, the Counts. I want to go to Vamped.
Yeah, he's Danny's let me know. Danny and Corey are personal friends of mine.
Nice.
I've known them for many, many years. Shout out to Vamped, where we eat, drink, and rock. That is the best venue in Las Vegas. I'll say it again. It's the best venue in Las Vegas. That is the place you want to play. The sound is phenomenal. The food is great. It's just a nice, awesome. It is rock and roll. Danny and Corey are passionate rock and roll people. Danny has his band. I'm going to give them a plug. If you like old school 70s stuff, they got the band Count 77. Stoney Curtis, Barry Barnes, Paul DeCebo, Polly Walnut, Scoutmaster D. Who am I left out? Barry Barnes. And they're a great group of people. They're great musicians, and I urge anybody that comes to Vegas, obviously right now because we don't have shows, but once it gets back open, if you're looking for a show, and the great thing about Vamp, man, you can go see huge nationals there, and sometimes they don't even charge half the time.
Nice.
So it's like, Counts Vamp, man, it's from West Sahara. Look them up, countsvamp.com, count77.com, and most importantly, alligatorblood.com, because we are the best band in Vegas.
There you go. Sorry, this has been fucking a lot of fun, dude. I can't wait to. We got to do this again.
Absolutely. Just let Scott. Just let our guy know whenever you want to do it, and we can set this up easily, bro. You've been a pleasure, man. Maybe next time I can maybe we can do the full band.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right, man. You have a great day, man. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
See you, brother.